13 days ago, Tom and I brought a new member of the family into our home. Prior to coming to live with us, Rosie had been living on the streets, sleeping under bushes, begging for food and digging through trash to find enough to survive day by day. This was her life, whether the weather was warm and sunny or cold and rainy. Rosie is a survivor. She has street smarts, but a sweet personality. Rosie has wide, dark eyes and a loving heart. She weighs about 16 pounds, is petite, and has feather-like fur that lilts off her tail and around her legs. The minute Rosie came into our home, she was entrenched in our hearts. The first few days with Rosie were almost idyllic. The cats each gave her one curious look, then continued on their rounds without missing a beat. Carly, the 8-month-old terrier, thought Rosie was the greatest thing since tennis balls and couldn't wait to engage her in a game of chase. Rosie was not terribly pleased with this, but she was tolerant. The first night, without hesitation, Rosie leapt into the bed next to Tom and became the first dog ever to sleep in the Schaefer bed. Given her previous diet of trash and scraps, Rosie was not too keen on Ion's dog food, so I quickly found myself up every morning scrambling eggs. Just a few days later, rice was added to the doggy food egg breakfast. Rosie ate it up, and Carly was thrilled as well. We were well into doggy indulgence, canine heaven. Rosie went in and out the dog door almost incessantly, trying to avoid Carly's advances, but she always came right back in each time she went out. She seemed to know that we would be her family and love and care for her. She seemed to respond and even resonate with her new way of life. She seemed to understand how much she is now loved, and she was quickly becoming a homebody and even a lap dog. The cell phone rang then on Wednesday as Tom drove back from 2 days in Florida. It was the office of the veterinarian who had just a week earlier spayed Rosie and given her shots, including her rabies shot. Because of the collar and the tag, Rosie had been found roaming the neighborhood. She had crossed Coleman Road and had been wandering around in a nearby street. We were scared. We were angry. We were hurt. We had done everything we knew to keep Rosie safe. We tried our best to show her love and care and let her know she had finally found a home. Was this the response we got for all our efforts? And yes, this is a dog. And no, Rosie is not a person, nor does she think like a person. But I think that Rosie's story is not unlike ours. Today we have the story of Abram, not yet Abraham, still Abram. Abram is known as a man of great faith. To this point in his life, Abram has trusted in God. Abram led a settled life in Haran with his father and their kinsfolk until his stationary existence was interrupted by God who said, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse. And you, in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed." At this, Abram, who is 75 years old, packs up all his belongings, which are many, along with his wife and nephew, and takes off for the land that God has promised to show him. He trusts God and responds accordingly. After a famine which causes a detour to Egypt, an incident with a pharaoh that involves Abram passing off his wife Sarai as his sister, and a separation between Abram and his nephew Lot, God again speaks to Abram and says to him, "Raise your eyes now And look from the place where you are, northward and southward and eastward and westward, for all the land that you see, I will give to you and to your offspring forever. I will make your offspring like the dust of the earth, so that one can count the dust of the earth, your offspring can also be counted. In response to this vast promise of land and progeny, Abram builds an altar to God. He continues to follow God's direction, even in the face of being tempted with riches by the king of Sodom. Abram, at this point, gets it. God has made him promises, and God will take care of him and will come through with his promises. But something happens along the way. Abram becomes impatient. The promise of children is not coming as quickly as Abram wishes, so he stops in his tracks and questions God. He says, "Oh Lord, what will you give me? For I am childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. You've given me no offspring, so a slave born in my house is to be my heir." Up to this point, Abram has trusted God without wavering. But now his patience is waning. He wants the promise to be fulfilled in his time, not in God's time. And the most amazing part of this story is not the fact that Abram grows impatient or has the audacity to question God. The most amazing part of this story is that God doesn't flinch or vow to disinherit Abram. God coolly and calmly reminds and reassures Abram that the promise remains, that God will continue and love and care for him, and will come through at the right time. God tells Abram to look up to the stars. Abram's descendants will be as many as the stars, as many as the grains of sand. That's some promise. Abram, the one known as righteous, the one who is counted as the father of many, had his moment of doubt, as did Peter. Remember Matthew's gospel when Peter sees Jesus walking on water and Jesus calls him? Peter, in his excitement and faith, steps out of the boat and begins to walk toward Jesus on top of the water. As soon as his faith wavers, as soon as he realizes what he is doing and questions it, he begins to sink. He calls out to Jesus, and Jesus pulls him up and safely returns into the boat. Jesus questions Peter about what's going on, why his trust, his faith has wavered. Jesus never wavered. Jesus didn't turn his back on Peter. He never left Peter's side or even his line of vision. But for some reason, Peter couldn't hang on to his trust entirely. Peter had a moment of doubt, and the water began rising over his ankles, then his knees. As the water grew closer and closer to overcoming Peter, he reached out for Jesus, and Jesus was right there, picking him up and placing him back in the boat. Jesus didn't reprimand Peter. He didn't use any of the derogatory terms he threw out at the Pharisees. He went to Peter and return him safely to the boat. In our gospel reading today, we hear Jesus pining to care for Jerusalem like a mother hen broods over her chicks. This is not the town he cares for so much, but the people. Jerusalem, the people of God. Jesus wants desperately for the people to turn around to trust him and his message. He wants them to hear how much God cares for them and how far he is willing to go to show them his unfaltering, unwavering love. We can relate to Abram, Peter, and even Rosie. We want desperately to trust in God's promise. We want so desperately to believe that God will remain faithful and will love us no matter what. We need that kind of God love. The term is agape. the kind of love that is so rarely found in the world. We need to be let back in, even after we've wandered off, to be brought back into safety and shelter in the loving arms of God. We can return anytime. The door is always open. The light is always on. And Jesus stands waiting for our return. There will be no punishment, no requirements for reentry, other than a willingness to return and start again. Thanks be to God. Amen.